thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thy enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecuteth thee. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of the land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of thy Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, if thou turn into the Lord, unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven, that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven, and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither it is beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us, and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord our God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, and that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce you unto this day, that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. In this chapter, we see that previously Moses had just reminded Israel of the blessings that they had after coming out of Egypt. They were cautioned that they would not be spared from God's anger if they turn away their heart from the Lord God and would view the land desolate and barren before them in subsequent generations. This would prompt the question, in Deuteronomy 29, starting at 24 to 26, we read, even all nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done this unto this land? What meaneth the heart, the heat of his great anger? Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods, and worship them, gods whom they knew not, and whom he had not given unto them. This would be the story of Israel as a whole. And even if we look at our lives, it is a depiction of life, general life in the truth as well. Their faith would wax and wane over the various generations, and even within certain generations. But that would not be the end of the story. They would be instructed that when these blessings and curses befell them, that they would be scattered among the nation, that there would be a change. In Deuteronomy 30, we read again, and it shall come to pass when all these things come upon thee, the things that he had just got through warning them about, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, thou shalt call them to mind among all nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee. And thou shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice. According to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thine soul. In verse 8, and thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord. Again, this phrase, and do all his commandments. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. And in verse 20, we read, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice. Thou mayest cleave to him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days. Thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. You know, obedience is a very important concept. In 1 Samuel 15:22, we read, Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Israel was taught this, that the sacrifices they were to offer meant something. It just wasn't a rudimentary commandment that they were to slit the throats of animals and spill the blood. There was a reason for it and a lesson that we well know. Obedience seems like such a simple term, doesn't it? But it becomes a very different concept in reality. If you look up obey in the typical dictionary, you will find something like this. To comply with the command, direction, or request of a person or a law. To submit to the authority of. Secondly, to carry out a command or instruction, as in the military. We can readily understand this definition. We are taught to obey our parents, our teachers, authorities above us, and as we enter a workplace, our bosses from a young age. We are instructed to obey laws and rules around us. In the military, I don't think anybody here has served, maybe they have, we are taught absolute obedience to a direct order. In fact, this is carried out so much that in time of war, if someone would disobey a direct order, they could be shot on sight. It would be treason. So the question is, does this not train us for obedience to Yahweh? Why is it so hard for us to live the truth? We are grown up and taught all of our lives, obey, obey, obey. Why is the truth so difficult? Why did Paul say, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so does easily beset us? He knew of the condition that we're born with. And he knew what lives within us. Is the definition of obedience so different as it pertains to God's laws? Well, I think there's three references here that talk about obedience or obey the word. It's always pretty much, I haven't looked, many references, a couple hundred actually. The word typically is shama, if I'm pronouncing that right. Now, we understand the normal definition of obedience. comply with command, to carry out a command, submit to the authority of. Listen to this and see if there is a little bit different in this definition. Shema, to hear intelligently with implication of attention, obedience, etc. Now this is Strong's and another definition. Carefully consider and be content. Yes, the two in finality really mean the same thing. Do what you're told. In fact, how many times we may have heard that phrase growing up. Do as you're told, not do as I do. Do as you are told. But these two meanings go about it in different ways. One is many times blindly following instruction. Sometimes as we see in military or other institutions. It is doing it because we have to, not necessarily because we want to. Many times it's only the consequence of our actions that we do what we are told. The consequence of a speeding ticket. If you speed, you may get a ticket. If you're bad as a child, you may get a spanking. The consequences of our action, is this why we obey? There is a rule and a punishment for not following it. There is action and reaction. Can we equate this to the incident in the garden? In Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17, we read, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree in the garden that thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." This was an absolute commandment. In fact, as far as we know in Scripture, it was the only one. Rule and punishment. Don't eat of the tree. If you eat it, you will become a dying creature, as the rendering is. Rule and punishment. Is this the same for all God's commands? This was a very unique time that we don't fully understand. There have been many faithful acts recorded in the Bible. So were they all like this? Do we obey only for fear of punishment? It's a question we have to ask ourselves. Do we obey only for fear of punishment? And as my wife last night added, do we obey only for reward? Let's look at the first use of this word or phrase in Scripture. That's the word obey, obedient, obeyed, so forth. In Genesis 22, God speaking to Abraham after his instruction to sacrifice his only son. And as his hand was about to strike his son, his hand was stayed. God says later in Genesis 22, verse 17, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now, did God tell Abraham, as far as we know, if you don't do this, I'm going to punish you? Did he ask him or tell him, if you do this, I'm going to reward you? Did that conversation happen as far as we know? He told him to get up and take his son to a location. And he did that without reservation. We're not always, I think, told conversations in Scripture. But I can imagine the faithfulness of Abraham did it. When he was approached early in his life to get out of the country that he did, he got up and went out. A very faithful individual. Because thou hast obeyed my voice. Why did he do that? Well, we can understand why he did it. Because he was a man of faith. And he was a man of purpose. And he wanted to fulfill his heavenly Father's will. While this is just the first mention of this particular word, we know that there was faithful obedience before. Obviously with Abel and his sacrifice, and Noah and the building of the ark, which we talked about, our brother talked about last week in our class. There was much faithful obedience in these two acts. But the sacrifice of his son, no mere obedience was this. For now I know that thou fearest God. That's what he said. For now I know that thou fearest God. This word does indeed mean fear, or to be afraid, but it also means reverent. And Strong adds the definition to be morally reverent, to regard with deep respect. Now, this is different than just doing something out of fear or punishment or reward. Deep respect, obeying God's voice. The obedience that we should have as believers should be such as this. It is like a child doing wrong and comes in sad, but not only because of the feared punishment, but mainly because he or she has disappointed us as a parent. Have you ever seen that? It's a very interesting concept. Does that show from a very, very young age? Typically not. It isn't. That has to be developed. That attitude comes with maturity, and it's usually not manifested in the young child. It is the attitude that we need to have. God tells us that in many places, and he told Israel throughout their whole life, their generations that they had, if you don't do this, if you do these bad things, this is going to happen to you. You're going to get scattered. And that's kind of where we wind up in this prophecy here in Deuteronomy. You know, he's saying you're going to be scattered. And in our readings, we're in the prophecies dealing with Israel and the scattering and so forth. You know, they were told numerous times, if you do this, this is what I'm going to do to you. But also, in many of those chapters, gives them hope as well because of the promises to this man right here, Abraham. So the obedience that we should have as believers should be like this. Like a child that we are sad if we do wrong, we are disappointed because we have let down our Heavenly Father. Ephesians 6:1 tells us, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It doesn't say, children, obey your parents because I'm going to whip you, take you out behind the shed and smack you around a little bit. He's saying, for this is right. It's what should be done. It's what your parent deserves, hopefully. Not all parents have that. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. See, there's always a reason. It's not just you're going to get it. For this is right, for it's well-pleasing unto Yahweh. Because in 3 John 1:4, we say this, do we not? I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Talking about us as believers, children walking in truth, but our children, our natural children, it's no greater joy than to have a child baptized and to walk in the truth. As a parent, we all hope that our children have this attitude. Don't obey for fear. Do it because it makes us joyful that they consider our feelings and can make the right decisions on their own and ultimately please the Heavenly Father. How is this any different from what our Heavenly Father feels? Think about these verses. Turn to Psalm 14. I go to these verses sometimes because it's very stark. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. How sad is this? You think about the Heavenly Father, the Creator of all, looking down upon and I think it's not the general nations of men, I don't think. I think it has to do with his chosen, Israel, maybe at this time. If anybody has any other thoughts about that, please come after meeting. But how sad is this? If you were to imagine what we feel when a member of our natural family goes astray and disappoints us as a child, knowing that they should not have done something and they do it. How nothing we can do can make a difference. Now think about God. There is none that doeth good. A father looking at his children and thinking this. The end of the chapter does indeed offer hope to these mentioned, but a change of heart will have to occur. The heart will have to be like Abraham's. Genesis 26:5. We read, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Abraham obeyed God's voice and kept all the things that we need to keep also. It is not because of the righteousness of the people of Israel that God would heal them eventually. In this prophecy, we're told they would be regathered and the heart would be changed and the various things that would go on at the end times. Their stony heart would be taken out, a heart of flesh would be put in. It's not because of the righteousness of these people, but for the righteous obedience and faithfulness of Abraham and the promises and God gave to him and his lineage. We can take great lesson from the faithful in Scripture. They have instructed us in the reason for their obedience. Love and faith. Agape love. And endless faith. They listened to instruction and did what was required. So they did it because they had to. But they also did it for other reasons as well. More important, faith and love. They were not as those who in Proverbs 5 we read, they say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. Sometimes our children seem to be like that, or children seem to be like that. No matter what you do, the instructions that you give them, doesn't matter. They should be like those in Hebrews 11, the chapter of faith. They were as those in this chapter, the things hoped for. He that cometh God must believe that he is. Looking for a city in the future whose builder and maker is God. Those who saw the promises afar off. Those who desired a better country. And those who obtained a good report through faith. Should obey because we have faith. We should obey because God has taken us out of the world of darkness and brought us to the wonderful light of the truth. We should obey because we have listened carefully and considered the truth and understood that God is our Heavenly Father and we His children. We should obey because it gives glory to God. When God's children obey their Heavenly Father, He is glorified. Jesus told us that the plan is for others to see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Of course, performing good deeds requires obedience to the one who calls us to good deeds. We owe obedience to Him, to Yahweh, because we owe everything to Him. We should obey because He deserves it. We can't always say that about us as natural parents, though. You have to earn respect in many ways. But our Heavenly Father does not. He deserves all respect. Of course, we have not touched upon the epitome of obedience, the examples many of the faithful set down. We read this in Romans. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. That one is Christ. And we will look at that in our memorial remarks. So remember, Deuteronomy 30:20. Let us think of these words, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey His voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto Him, for He is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto our fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. And I want to finish with the last verse of our first opening hymn this morning, hymn 200. It says, all righteousness fulfilling, our Lord, salvation won, we too would share the blessing with thy beloved Son. We too would bring our offering, obedience, full and free, would share the shame and sorrow to share the victory. Let our obedience be full. Let it be free. Let it be out of our desire to please our Heavenly Father and to give Him glory upon this earth. We'll turn to hymn 108, our memorial hymn. Jesus, thou Son of righteousness, shed forth thy living rays, stir up thy strength, thy mightiness, and manifest thy praise. Hymn 108. The Orlando Collegiate's basis of fellowship is exclusively the undiminished statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments stated therein. As mentioned earlier, there are many examples of faithful obedience in the Scriptures. But when we first hear the word obedience or obey, the first name that should come to mind is our Lord Jesus Christ. There are a few Scriptures. Hebrews 5:8. Though he were a son, yet he learned his obedience by the things which he suffered. He learned obedience by suffering. And sometimes we have to do this as well. The Son had responsibilities to His Father. To fulfill God's plan, He had to suffer and to die. And He knew that. And He was obedient unto His own death. In Matthew 16:21, we read, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." Acts 26:23, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. This was a direct result of the fall of man in the garden. Man was from then to become a dying creature, and redemption was needed for the glory of God. In Hebrews 12, we read, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." The joy that was set before him. The reward. Yes, he did it for that, obviously. But he also did it because he wanted to please his Heavenly Father. Romans 5:19 says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteousness." In order to become an atoning sacrifice, he had to be born of flesh nature, but of a sinless character, who should be in the very nature that was under condemnation. Philippians 2:8 says, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." His life, in his short life, he knew by the prophecies of what he had to do and what was ahead of him. But he became obedient unto that death because he knew it was his Father's will. And it was the only chance at that time of salvation for mankind. Death could not hold him because he had a sinless character. In Hebrews 5:9 we read, "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obeying him." And again in Hebrews 12, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Christ was an obedient servant. He was an obedient son. It is He that we come to remember today. So let us remember that attitude in our daily lives as well, that we may become obedient to our Heavenly Father as well. Let's turn to Matthew 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it unto them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Let's please stand and we'll ask our brother Sid if he will offer prayer for the bread.
Great and eternal Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence now thankful for thy many blessings. We are appreciative for this opportunity that we have to gather around this memorial table to reflect upon the accomplishments of our Lord. And we thank Him for His perfect obedience, His love for thee, and His love for us. And we thank Thee for the great sacrifice that Thou hast made in His provision. We acknowledge that we fail Thee often, and if it were not for the benefit that we enjoy from the sacrifice of Christ, we could not be continually reconciled unto Thee. We thank Thee for this bread, which we recognize as a symbol, the body of flesh of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He willingly put off that flesh in fulfillment of Thy will and to accomplish the objectives that Thou had set forth. We pray that we may be obedient as He was obedient, fulfilling Thy will in every respect. And as we partake of this bread, let us think upon the great sacrifice that has been made on our behalf. For we have been so greatly blessed. And let us take advantage of this and live our lives in accordance with our will. We enjoy a great fellowship with Thee and with Thy Son and with each other because of the things that we believe, the things that we are convicted of, and the things that we practice. We ask now that You'd hear our prayer of thanks for this bread as we offer it to Thee through Thy beloved Son, our Savior and our coming King, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Please stand and ask our brother Daniel Stevens if he will offer prayer for the wine. Close with the singing of hymn 194, after which we'll ask our members to please remain after close of meeting. 194, arm of the Lord, awake, awake, put on thy strength, the nations shake, and let the world confounded see triumphs of vengeance wrought by thee. Hymn 194. Righteous, kind, Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this time of thoughtful contemplation of thy word. We thank thee for being able to offer hymns of praise unto thy name, to study and have words of encouragement this morning. We pray that thou would guide and direct each one of us as thou seest fit, that we may be strengthened as our ecclesia and individually in thy truth, seeking to obey and to please thee at every turn. We thank thee for all thy many care and blessings upon us. We thank thee for the meeting that we have. And we pray that we may be all saved in that kingdom to come when thy Son returns with power and glory to establish the kingdom upon this earth. In all things we do ask and pray the forgiveness of our sins and shortcomings through our Lord Jesus, our coming King and Savior. Amen.